You to God's blessed family, the Church of the Living God, the ground and the pillar of truth, where we come together in God's presence to hear the Word of God. The Bible, the Scriptures describe it as the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. And we started a series 2 weeks ago. I will still try to see if I can meet Dr. Patrick's record again, but too late. In 5 minutes' time, Dr. Patrick was rounding up, and I'm about to start. Amen. Dr. Patrick, wave your hand in the air. Glory be to God. That's my own blessed personal GP. I consult Dr. Patrick on GP matters, and Dr. Patrick consults me. How did you know? Amen. God has blessed every one of us with different abilities. Please celebrate your abilities. We were sharing our discipleship class this morning, reminding every one of us that we are not useless, and God has never created anything useless. Inside everyone is an ability. I reminded them from the Scriptures this morning that we as human beings are the ones who see disability. God does not see disability. I've come to understand that what we human beings call disability is actually a different ability that somebody's exhibiting. It's just that we don't understand what the ability is, so we label and say it's a disability. But we will see how blessed God has made us. And if we do a quick recap, we defined blessed, what it means to bless, to be blessed last week. To be blessed means to cause to prosper. When the Bible says blessed, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, God created man, he created mankind, and blessed them, and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. What God did at that point was he empowered them to prosper. And he said, you are prospered to be fruitful. You are prospered to multiply. You are prospered to be able to go forward. Because what it means to prosper, it means to advance, to make progress. Amen. And when someone is blessed of God, what we are simply saying is that they are operating in the blessings of God. They have divine favor with God and with people. They are empowered to prosper. And we also try to look at what the Bible calls family. Families in the Bible, another word, kindred, clan, tribe, people, nation. And the family is actually the foundation of mankind. And by mankind, we mean both male and female. When you look at the Bible, God created the first mankind, and that mankind was male and female. The Bible says God created man in his image and in his likeness, and God blessed man in male and female, he created them. It was later that God took the female out, brought the female back, and then they began to make children. So the simplest foundation of a family is man and a woman coming together. So when the man and woman come together, family grows out of that union of male and female coming together. Every single one of us came out of a male and a female coming together. There is absolutely nobody, whatever way you came, whether through the test tube, a male and a female was behind it. And we looked at some key points with, I want to encourage us to keep at the forefront of our minds about God's blessings. Number one, please, I want you to repeat after me. Let's personalize it. I kind of feel we should personalize it. So just repeat after me. Just say, it is God's perfect will for me to be blessed. God desires that I am blessed in everything. God has blessed me from the foundation of the world. God desires to bless my health, to bless my work, my food and water. God desires to bless my family. The one I am part of currently, and even the one I'm about to start. My family and I are blessed. But there are just two key things we learned from last week, which we'll kick off from today. That number one, the blessing of God is sovereign, which means it's supreme, it's very good, it's effective. When God blesses, it is sovereign, it is supreme. That's the highest form of blessing. God's blessing when it comes upon a people, or even when you look at the Bible, even God's blessings comes on inanimate things. For example, the Bible says God blessed the seventh day. For example, we see God, the Bible telling us in Exodus that God will bless our food, our bread, our water. Those are inanimate things. Once God's blessing comes upon a thing, that's the highest form of blessing. That's the supreme, and it's very effective. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22 tells us that the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and adds no sorrow. That is the blessing of the Lord. The highest form of blessing you can ever have. God's blessings come upon a people, a person, an individual, or inanimate or animate thing. That blessing, the Bible says, will make rich without any sorrow. Now, the key thing then is this: if we are blessed, if our children are blessed, how come at times we don't enjoy the blessings? The blessing of God comes so that we can become blessings or enjoy God's blessings. You know, the blessing itself is plural, while the blessings are numerous. So they are, the blessing is singular. I almost lost my English, my blessed English knowledge there. Singular and plural, right? When it's one, it's plural. Oh, it's singular. And when it's more, it's, okay, somebody's looking at me like, as if I didn't go to a blessed school. Don't worry. The blessing of the Lord is upon me. So the blessing is singular. Oh, you thought you would catch me there. But the blessings, plural. So the blessing of the Lord is what makes us to enjoy the blessings. So the blessing of the Lord makes rich, adds no sorrow. So why at times does it look like we're not experiencing or enjoying God's blessings? It's because the blessings of God, to enjoy them, are conditional. The blessing itself is unconditional. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So once God has pronounced the blessing is there. It is irreversible. You will understand this when you look at the scriptures right from the beginning. When God made mankind, the first thing he did was to pronounce that blessing upon mankind. Of course, he now gave them conditions. I've given you everything to enjoy on this earth. Eat everything, but don't eat this tree. Conditional. Because the moment you eat it, in other words, you're going to start losing the blessings. You're going to start losing the power I've given you to prosper, the power I've given you to multiply. So that is the challenge we have as human beings. Are we fulfilling the conditions for the blessings? Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a a whole chapter filled with blessings. There's a portion of that same chapter I hate reading. It's where it talks about the curses. But if you look at it, every blessing pronounced in Deuteronomy 28 is subject to conditions. If you hearken, if you observe to do, then this will happen. Then this blessing will happen. And then where the curses began, if you don't observe to do, if you don't hearken, then these curses. Now, if you look at it clearly, technically speaking, God does not curse. But God simply blesses. But as human beings, we walk away from the blessings. And we walk automatically into curses. Let me just tell us the simplest definition of what a curse is. A curse is just ill will, what we call bad luck. You just see people say, why am I always experiencing bad luck? Why is it that, you know, everybody when he enjoy this, when it gets to my turn, is like as if, you know, they just say, well, the door is shut. No way. Like this funny story I heard about a man who went for a wedding feast. I don't know whether it's true or it's not true. So this is just the Revised Standard Amplified Version you're listening to now. He sat and he discovered that at the wedding, they were only serving the people who sat in the front seat. So he decides to move to the front table. Then they decide to start serving from the back. Then he decides, okay, today, no problem. He moves to the back. Then they decided to move the serving of the food to start from the middle tables. And then he moved to the middle tables and then they stopped the service. He said, oh, what kind of bad luck do I have? Brethren, it may sound funny, but some people literally seem to have such experiences. The question is why? Because the blessings of God to enjoy them are conditional. Let's not look to God that, God, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with God. Everything God has made, the Bible says God saw and said it was very good. Now, we looked at so many things last week, but we ended up at a place where we will start this week. And that is a thought and a word we left ourselves with last week. Now, when you look at every one of us, we all came from a biological human family. Whether the family, you know, we have different families. Some of us, we might have a single parent family where one of the partners who made the family is absent or late, or, you know, what we call broken families at times, or families that are just disjointed. You know, we all come from different kinds of families. Listen, you have no choice. You and I have no choice over the family which we'll be born into, the biological family where we will be born into. I mean, if some of us had a choice, we wouldn't choose the families that we were born into. We would rather say, God, send me to Buckingham Palace, or send me somewhere. Send me to the Sultan of Brunei. You know, the family, that's the family. I don't mind, just give me the name Mohammed. I don't mind, just anything but this family where I was born into. You had no choice over the family where you will be born. But listen, God in his benevolence, because his blessings are irreversible, has made it possible. Even though you can't choose your family where you will be born, you can choose a family where you will belong. It's called the church. The church family. It's the family of God. It's a blessed family. The Bible describes in the book of Ephesians the family of whom God is our Father, the family of heaven and of earth. It's a family in Christ Jesus. You can choose to belong to this family. We ended with Isaiah chapter 68, I believe, last week, and that's where we'll kick off from. You can be part of God's family. You can. Isaiah 68 verse 6. The Bible declares here, if you can bring it up quickly, Isaiah 68 verse 6. This is what the Bible says. Isaiah 68. Is it 68 verse 6? There's no Isaiah 68. Then something is wrong with what I typed here on my slide, where he puts the solitary in families. Have you found it? Oh, come on, somebody search it. Is it, you sure? Okay, let me just check the scriptures. The Bible says we should search the scriptures. Psalm 68. Sorry, I said God is 68. Stop looking at me like that. You didn't even know there was a 68, did you? Some of you were open to the book of Nicodemus chapter 6, verse 4. I got it. I got the 68, verse 6. I only mean the Isaiah. Okay, now. Don't judge me now. All right. Isaiah's, okay, now. Not Isaiah. Psalm 68, verse 6. The Bible says that God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who were bound into prosperity. But the rebellious will dwell in a dry land. It's God's perfect will. No matter what family, biological, natural family you come out from, God can still take you out of that broken family and put you into his own family. It's called the church of the living God. You see, it's high time that God helps us and heals us from this mentality of called denomination. You see, what denomination has caused, I'm not trying to, you know, cause some storm here, but you see, what denomination has caused to the church, to the kingdom of God, unfortunately, is more damage, more division, more separation than anything. Our focus should be becoming more and more and more like Christ. The Bible says, Jesus himself said it, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said that by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It didn't say if you belong to some denomination. It's the love of God. The Bible tells us the love of God never fails. God is love. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God. That should be our focus, not denomination. Do we love God? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? A scribe came one day and asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. And second commandment is like this, shall love your neighbor as yourself. That should be our focus. That is the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. You know, when we keep on segregating, then it's easy for the enemy to tear us into pieces. That's what happened. Please get those blessed children to sit down blessedly in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So, kicking off from there, I have no choice what family I'm born into, but I have a choice to choose to become part of God's family. And you and I, always, that door is open. We can always be part of God's family. You can be part of that blessed family called the church. Today, we want to look at the foundation of a family, which is the man and the woman. The blessed man or the blessed woman. And please, if you are, okay, don't let's go into that, because people are too politically correct these days, that why should we all talk about man before woman? Excuse me. Okay. The blessed people. But let's leave that. The blessed man and the blessed woman, or the blessed woman, you are destined to enjoy God's blessings. That's what we'll look at today. So we've looked at it. We all come from a biological family. It's a man and a woman coming together. Look, if you come out of a family and that family is operating under a blessing, you are programmed to enjoy the blessing of that family. Sadly, it's the other way around. If you are born into a family that's operating under curses because they have broken God's covenant. They have gone into lots of vices and disobedience and done all sorts of nasty things. Then the curses on that family will begin to work upon that individual. There are some names today that some people have changed their names. They can't bear such names again. Because if they should know they are related to so and so, automatically, stigma, curses, nobody wants to associate with them. That's what a curse is, because of disobedience. So, for a blessed family, you need a blessed man and you need a blessed woman. And that's why we're focusing on that. Next week, by the grace of God, we'll look at blessed children, because children are really the arrows we shoot into the future. And if you have a blessed man and a blessed woman who shoot the children, program the children into a blessed future, their future is blessed. They are blessed because the blessing of a family, the blessing of a family comes upon you when you attach, when you relate, when you identify with that family. That blessing comes upon you. And that's why God has instituted that principle, so that every one of us can become part of his family, the church. The church, the Bible says, is the body of Christ, Christ being our head. So you need a blessed man. You need a blessed woman to have a blessed family. That is not rocket science. Today, we just want to briefly look at, so who is a blessed man? Who is a blessed woman? Now, I've been seeing all sorts of things, and the world we live in now is a world of glamour, of glitz, a world that just glamorizes. You know, so we're in the age of social media, where, and you know, media means you can broadcast anything from your bedroom. When we were younger, you needed a licensed television house to propagate news. You needed to have a TV. Some of us grew up without TV. All we had was a gramophone. All we had was a transistor radio. All we had was some radio that was talking. You know, I remembered a man who shared a story that he was so curious, because in those days he had no understanding. And he went from the village to live with his uncle, and the uncle was playing a radio. And he heard voices coming out of this box. And he was wondering, how come? How can a box be talking? Who are the people inside that box? So one day his uncle went out. So he decided he wants to see the people in the box. So he broke the box so that he could see the people inside. So when the uncle came back, he beat him blue black, sent him back to the village. You know, but the time we live in now, you don't even need no box. You just need a piece of device. A mobile phone. From your bathroom, you can broadcast anything. You can say anything. In 1 second, it goes around the world. It travels. We call it viral, like a virus, a viral disease. Just say something nasty, whether it's the truth, whether it's a lie, whether it's half truth, whether it doesn't exist, as long as people just forward. Please tell your neighbor, watch what you forward. Some people are scared to even tell their neighbor, watch what you forward. Because they are the ones who have been forwarding. I hope you're not. People just forward, 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 retweet, like. What are those things? No. You just retweet, you forward, you like, you share, you like and share. And people live on likes and shares now. We are in that season. That's the age where we're in. Very dangerous. So anything can be broadcasted. Anything, people just can say anything and it becomes the gospel truth, sadly. And people don't really verify. So people will just go and stand, see a nice car and pose beside the car and say, wow, God has blessed me with this car. And people like, ooh, wow, blessing. Oh, I covet this blessing. Lord, you did it for Sarah. Do it for me too. You know, you did it for, you know, sorry, Sarah, not your Sarah. I'm just talking. You know, you did it for Kingsley, not your Kingsley. Okay, you did it for Lucky, not your Lucky. you know, do it for me too. And we say, wow, I'm blessed, pictures, blessed, you know, everything. You know, even if they went to a shop and quickly just tried a dress on, they snap it, say, wow, God has blessed me with this. But it's not really. A picture captures the moment. Doesn't really mean it's reality. But that's the world we live in. People believe anything. So unconsciously, the world has redefined what it means to be blessed. Redefined what blessing is. So we covet cars. We covet houses. We covet properties. We covet cash. You see people posing with wads of cash and just sleep on it. I'm a dollar man. You know, whatever. And we think that is what it means to be blessed. A blessed man or woman is not measured by the amount of cash, properties, possessions, or wealth. Jesus warned, a man's life does not exist or consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's not the measure of a man's life. Because whatever you have today, listen, you came into this world with nothing. It is certain nothing will go with you. Naked we came, naked we will go. Let them bury you with your best car. There was one crazy, I don't know whether it's true, we're in the world of social media, they buried one rich man with his BMW. That was what they used as his coffin, and buried him with the BMW. He's not, that BMW is not driving nowhere, and if there are some smart guys, they will dig that grave and throw the skeleton away and drive the BMW away. Crazy world we live in now. Very, very crazy world. That's not the blessing of God. That's not a blessed man. Stop being deceived by social media. Stop being deceived by pictures. Stop being deceived by measuring. Oh, I drive a new car. I drive a nice car. I'm blessed. And you know, it's so sad because even we that we are actually blessed as Christians, we are deceived and we feel so unworthy when you see somebody who's not in church today. You know, they partied all night, partied every day. They swear, they do all sorts of things and they are driving the best cars. They are marrying the best babes, you know. You are here. You walk to church this morning, you are still trusting God for a bicycle. You know, you think you are not blessed because your measure of blessing is what the world is defining to you. Please tap somebody beside you. Please tap them. Just tap them. I'm tapping you. Wake up. You are blessed. I like that. You're tapping yourself. You are blessed. You know, that's another clever way to stop somebody from sleeping. When they should be hearing messages that they are blessed. Amen. Blessed is the work of your hands. Don't worry. The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, but not in church. You should be awake. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give you light. We're giving you light. Please wake up. You are blessed. You are blessed. So, we defined to remind ourselves, God's blessings are conditional. When you look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I think it's verse 3, which is our key scripture. God called Abraham and told Abraham, I will bless you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. People can argue that, of course, Abraham had cattle, which is like the cars, properties of today. He had servants. He had landed property. He was enjoying the good things of life. He had trained servants who grew up with him. You see, God gave him influence. Now, if you want to truly understand what God meant by blessing Abraham, it's not in those cattle. It's not in the servants. God said he has found Abraham faithful. And has seen in him that he will command his children to follow after God. That was the key. And God tested him. Let me even prove to see if this guy is truly blessed. And God told him, go and sacrifice Isaac. You know the story. That son which you love, God was specific because at that time he had another one which he didn't really love, Esau. But God told him, go and sacrifice. Sorry, Ishmael, thank you very much. My memory is blessed in the name of Jesus. You know, maybe I need a little bit more sleep, you see. All right. Okay. Ishmael, specifically, it was after he obeyed God and took Isaac up for sacrifice that God now told him, you are truly blessed, and in you I will bless all the earth. The real blessing of God is in obedience. When you and I obey God, then we are fulfilling the conditions and we'll begin to enjoy the riches of the earth. The lands that if you need it, think about it too. You have 30 houses. How many of them do you want to sleep in one day? If you try to sleep in your 30 houses in one day, then you might end up in a psychiatric hospital just because you want to prove and show you've got wealth. You can only sleep in one room, one bed at a time. If you have all these things, is to be a blessing to mankind. And that's what God told Abraham. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. It's not I'm blessing you to amass things and display and flaunt them. That is not a blessed man. I have seen rich people, in quote, very wealthy people, in quote, but they don't fulfill Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. They are so rich, they have money, they have landed properties, they have a fat bank account, but they are accompanied with sorrow. Their children are on drugs. Their children are a nuisance. Their children are there flaunting everything, blowing everything. And when these so-called rich people die, the family just scatters. That is not the blessing of the Lord that makes rich without sorrow. That's a blessing with sorrow. It's not of God. We should not measure with all these fake things. So who is a blessed man? Who is a blessed woman? If you want to see that picture, I present the picture of a blessed man to you. Let's go to Psalm 1. The blessed man, the blessed woman. That's what we're looking at today. Who is the blessed man? Psalm 1 tells us, let us read Psalm 1. Read this and see a clear picture of a blessed man who is fulfilling God's conditions, and we see the consequences. Number 1, verse 1, Psalm verse 1, I mean chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is that man that does not stand in the path of sinners. Blessed is that man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Okay, let's see the blessed man again. Look at the picture. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Just stop there. Look at that man. Is fulfilling some certain conditions. He will never follow wicked counsel. What's a wicked counsel? Any counsel, no matter how good it sounds, but it's not God, is wicked. He does not stand in the way of sinners. What is sin? The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Simple definition of sin. Look, don't go too far. Anything that is not right before God, no matter what the world calls it, no matter how tolerant the world is trying to make us tolerate everything today, that no, don't judge. The Bible says don't judge. The Bible says no. Sin before God is sin. We're discussing on our way to church this morning with my family. I said, we only need to see how clever that people are in this world now. They want us to focus on some certain sins right, that is driving the whole church crazy, that the church is not inclusive, the church is judgmental about a certain set of people living a certain lifestyle, as if that is all what sin is all about. And let me tell us the strategy of the devil. As long as, let me use social media, as long as something keeps trending, it goes viral and keeps trending, that's what everybody will keep talking about, until people are even tired. You know what? We've had enough of this, but somebody brings another version of it. It now goes unconsciously into everybody's consciousness, where what is even wrong, people begin to accept. That's okay. We've had enough. You've trended. No, you've talked. Okay. That is the evil agenda. Just make this always trend. Just make this always be on the front burner. Everybody's talking about it. People get tired. People don't know their left from their right. Yeah, it's okay. Why are you even talking about it? Why are you judging? Excuse me, sin is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Whatever is not right before God is sin. That's the answer. Don't ask me anything. Just ask yourself, is this right before God? It will be right before men. Excuse me, majority vote does not translate to God's approval. Democracy, everybody can vote in one candidate. Listen, God is smarter than everybody. God is the one who sets up kings and removes another. God can allow an unrighteous person to even rule, because God has got an agenda that he needs an unrighteous person to fulfill. Why didn't Pharaoh let the children of Israel go? Because God wanted to make a statement. We just need to understand how God works. So the man who is blessed does not stand in the way of sinners. When you are taking a stand, take the stand God will take. Even if you are called names. Look, something happened to me recently, and I was shocked. I was really, really shocked. You know, I was all of a sudden, you know, suddenly, you know, the kind of job I do in the secular, you get observed every now and then, and at times they tell you, we're coming to see what you're doing. At times they don't tell you, they just show up. So I experienced a situation where nobody told me anything, and they just showed up. So I had a choice. I had a choice to fake it. You know, people say fake it till you make it. Just make it look like this is, yeah, because you are being watched. So put up an act. I told myself, number one, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I shall fear no evil. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of being sacked? I shall fear no evil. Why? For God is with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. I told him, I'm not putting up any act. This is the way the class is, and this is what you are going to see. So I did that, and you know, they did all the observation. When they were giving me back a feedback, I was shocked. I said, number one, of course, I didn't know you were coming. You came, and that's what it is, and that is it. Just tell me what went right, what went wrong, so that I can improve my act. They said, wow, that statement really, really, really went a long way. And one of them said, of course, what do you expect from him? He doesn't lie. I was shocked. And that made me not want to lie again. Seriously, I was encouraged. Yeah, I was really, really encouraged. There's no point. Fear at times makes us to sin. We don't need to fear any evil. I knew God was with me before I went to that class. I knew God was with me when I was in the class. I knew God was with me outside the class. Don't need to fake it. Just know you're blessed. You know what it means to be blessed? Even the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. They came with intention to kill me, but they said, no, he doesn't lie. We trust him. This is the kind of employee we like. But you fake it and they know you are faking it. You do it for the camera. The day they will catch you, they will remind you, we thought you were a Christian. You think the world is deceived by some of our antics? Not at all. The blessed man will not stand in the way of sinners. And then he says he will not sit in the seat of the scornful. But where will you find this blessed man? He says, in the presence of God. The Bible says there in Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of God. He meditates on that law day and night. Now look at the consequences. Let's go to verse 2 or 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. That's one of the problems or things we don't understand. Fruit is for its season. There are seasons. Excuse me. Part of season is winter. When the leaves and everything falls off, it is still season. Part of season is if you live in, you know, in Africa and all that, dry season, everything is dry. Part of season is wet season. Part of season is rainy season. Part of season is autumn, spring. What's the other one? Summer, winter, autumn, spring. They are all seasons. What the Bible is saying, whatever the season is in that season, you will produce what is meant for that season. You don't have to always produce mango in winter. So because you don't have mango in winter, God, I'm not blessed. There's no mango. Excuse me, it's not the season for mango. Oh, somebody saying, but Jesus cursed the fig tree because it didn't bring forth. No, the Bible says it wasn't the season for the figs, but the fig tree spoke to Jesus. Because that's what happened in that scripture. If you look at it in the original translation, the fig tree spoke to Jesus, and Jesus answered the fig tree. How can what you create speak back to you? You see, that's one of the things we do. We are like potter in the hand of the clay. We are the potter. We are the clay. We are like clay in the hand of the potter. Please pray for me. Okay. We are like clay in the hand of the potter. The potter decides to shape and form the clay as he wills. But the clay does not tell the potter, why did you make me like this? The potter knows why he made you like this for this season. The blessed man brings forth its fruit in its season. Child of God, there are times when things will look dry. It doesn't mean God has left you. It's just the dry season. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time for everything under heaven. There's a season. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, to cry. They are all seasons. But it says God has made everything beautiful in its season. If you read the original translation, each time, a season, every season has its time. But in whatever season, a blessed man will know he's blessed, not because of the season, but because of God, who is the God of the season. That's why Paul said, I have learned whatever circumstance I am in, both in times of plenty, both in times of lack, I have learned to be abased, to abound, to have much, to have little. And he ended up by concluding that scripture that has become a 419. When I say 419, people are misusing and misquoting the scripture. I can do all things through Christ. Not that one, sorry. Through Christ who strengthens me. When he said it in the context of whether there's plenty, whether there's little, I am still abounding. That is a blessed man. A blessed man is not controlled by seasons. You just adjust. God feeds the birds of the air. Even the birds of the air have understanding than us human beings. In winter, do you know what happens? They fly away. They go somewhere, hibernate. They know winter is not forever. Do you know what God said after he cursed the earth and he blessed Noah and his family? I'm telling you, he told them, for as long as this earth remains, seed time, harvest shall not cease. Winter, summer, heat, cold will not cease. There will always be seasons, child of God, but you are blessed in every season. There might be times when you are broke. It might just be a time, a season for you to reflect on how you spend money. Maybe you are too extravagant. Maybe when you had plenty, you never thought of those who didn't have. Oh boy, I've been broke in my life. That was when I knew the value of one penny. I don't play with one penny anymore. I don't, if I say penny, because I know the value. But some of us, penny, just let it roll under the carpet, under the bed, and a lot of one penny, two penny, three penny. It's when it becomes 100 penny, you start feeling it. Then when it becomes 1,000 penny, but it was a penny after one penny. The Bible says it's the little foxes spoil the vine. That's seasons. That's a blessed man. A blessed man will bring forth his fruit in a season. And look at it. Go on, go on. Let's go back to our Psalm 1, the picture of a blessed man. And I round up with that. Next week, we are going to look at blessed children. In the name of Jesus. There are some things God's laying on my heart to share with us about how our children. Because we need a balance. Let me just give us a little snippet. Some of us parents can be very prayerful. We pray, but we don't train our children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way which he should grow. When he's old, he won't depart. He didn't say pray up a child. Pray and train. It's like you hearing the word, but not doing. You talk to God, because that's what prayer is. You talk to God, talk, but you don't do what God tells you to do. And you want to blackmail God, that God, I've been spending time in prayer with you. And my children are misbehaving. No, you spend time with God, but did you do what God told you in that time you were spending with him? Don't substitute training children for praying for children. That's a snippet. Next week, we leave that till next week. Where are we? Where are we? Help my blessed memory. Psalm 3, 1 verse 3. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in a season, whose leaf shall not wither. Look at that. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Now, that whatever he does has to be taken in context of the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. And whatever he does in line with the law of the Lord, he shall prosper. That is the picture of a blessed man. Verse 4. But the ungodly, they are not so. Leave that, because I'm talking to godly people. Let us focus on what God wants us to do, what we can do. Let's fulfill the conditions. So a man, a blessed man or a blessed woman, is one who finds their delight. Just bring that slide up. And pleasure. And purpose only in God. A blessed man, a blessed woman is one who walks, who stands, and sits where God walks, sit, or stand. When you are walking, you are walking with God. When you are standing with God. And when you are sitting. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, far above principalities and powers. You're sitting in a place of authority because you are fulfilling the law of the Lord. That is a blessed man. You know, there's something Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And then if you read 11 to 12, it has a balance. He was teaching about covering. And you see, we can take that physically, because that's one of the things we may lose, the context in which Paul was talking about. Because at the end of the day, if there's a message, if there's anything that any preacher should preach, it should point us back to Christ, not to some doctrine. Okay? He was saying in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 that the head of the woman, please women help me, the head of the woman is, no, they don't want to say it because they don't like it. It's not popular. The head of the woman is the, thank you women, blessed women. Okay, let blessed women answer me. The head of the woman is, okay, blessed men, and the head of the man is, and the head of Christ is, everybody, God. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3. Now, a blessed person, man, male or female, is one who has God as their head. What do we mean by head? It means God is your master, your Lord. He's the one who controls you, supreme. He's your source. You know, medically speaking, you want to kill a man quickly. You want him to die so quickly. Just blow the head. Blow the head off. Just blow the head off. Person will die so quickly. A headless man or a headless woman whose God is not their head is a cursed person. God is the one who is the head of a blessed man or woman. You cannot choose what family you came from, but you can choose God's family to belong to. And you can be a blessed man or woman. Let's bow our heads to pray. I don't know what God has spoken to you today. Will you make Jesus your head? You can truly see. You have this, you have that. I see so many families. Is it houses they have? Is it cars they have? Is it money they have? But they don't have a home. They're not happy. The blessing of the Lord makes rich without any sorrow. Is Christ your head? Are you part of the body? Ultimately, God must be our head. Please talk to the Lord. Just give us a few minutes. What has God spoken to you today? You're blessed, but are you enjoying the blessings? Can you say you are fulfilled? Can you say you're happy? Or is it seasons, property? You're only happy when you have money. You're only happy when your salary is paid on time. There are seasons, brethren. There are seasons. And out of God's blessings, you walk out of the blessing, you walk into curses, you walk away from Christ as your head, you deny Christ as the head, you walk straight into the trap of the enemy. Make up your mind who is your head today. Choose you today who you will serve. Choose you. You break that curse. Walk away. Walk away from under the curse and walk into obedience. And make Christ your head. Make Christ your head. You can invite the Lord Jesus. You can choose today. You can make today a special day of your life. You can make today a turning point for your family. The family that you represent right now, the family you are about to step into, give birth to, or even the family you are part of right now, you can bring your family back under God's blessings. Don't walk away. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better. Please just stretch out your hands like you're about to receive. I just want to pray and pronounce God's blessings. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you because you have spoken to us at different levels. I pray, Lord God Almighty, Holy Spirit, you are the one who reminds us. May we never forget what we've heard today. May we never forget what the Spirit is saying to us individually, and even to us as a church, oh God. And we want to thank you for making us part of your blessed family. For those who have made a decision today to walk back, or to step into, or to stay and not leave. Because you said you would never leave nor forsake us. Lord, I thank you for a turnaround. I thank you for we will begin to walk into the miraculous, walk into your blessings, fulfill these conditions by the help of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you because we are blessed in our going and our coming. We are blessed in the morning. We are blessed at noon. We are blessed at night. And Lord, from today, I pronounce your blessing upon every one of us that we will no longer walk in any ungodly counsel. We will no longer stand in the way of sinners. We will no longer sit where the scornful sit. But Lord, as you have steered our hearts today, our delight will continuously be in your law. Day and night we will meditate. Lord, we will observe to do everything you say, and everything we do shall prosper. Everything we lay our hands shall prosper. Today I say you will go forward. You will prosper. You will become very great. Whatever season of life you are at right now, I decree in the name of Jesus, by reason of the word you've heard today, I resist every plan of the devil to bring any affliction. Whatever affliction it is, it will only draw you closer to God. And it will prosper you, make you prosper, make you know the law of the Lord more and more, and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say, in the name of Jesus, you are irreversibly blessed. As an individual, you are blessed. Your family, blessed. Your children, blessed. Your womb, blessed. Your body, blessed. The work of your hands, blessed. Everything you lay your hands upon shall prosper. Amen. To the glory of God. I say in the name of Jesus, the favor of the Lord goes with you and surrounds you like a shield. Wherever your name is being called, they will associate you with God. And God's blessings will come upon you. Father, thank you. To you be all the glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. I think we'll take the offering and then we'll do the announcement.